Who did what and who said what?
Oh my God.
Really?
Seriously?
Really?
I can't be true.
A little bit of this and that.
What are you saying?
Just talking. Brought to you by In.com.
Konnichiwa. Kureha In.com's Just Talking. Batasino namea kritika. Okay, I have no idea if I said that correctly, but what I wanted to say was, this is Just Talking brought to you by In.com and my name is Kritika. And why am I being all weird and trying to speak Japanese? Because Pokemon Detective Pikachu has been inspiring in more ways than one. I was one of those weird kids who'd gulp down bottles of ketchup and eat way more jam than was good for me because Kisan used to have this offer where they were giving away Pokemon diamond cards with each pack. Yeah, what a childhood, right? Swapping Pokemon cards in school and then running back in time to watch the cartoon on TV. But the TV show has got nothing on Pokemon Go. The game launched in 2016 with around 150 species of Pokemon, and it has gone on to include newer and newer ones, and we now have around 480 species to entice us and to take us on a hunt and act like total weirdos in random places. Yeah, just running with our phones in our hands. And this VR game has had more than 1 billion downloads since it launched. Now, this game grew so much that some parts of the world actually had governments that had to look into it and form new regulations. And in some places, people just took matters into their own hands. Like in the suburb in Sydney, the residents were so annoyed that people who were playing Pokemon Go were crowding their locality. They began throwing water bombs at anybody who showed up with a phone looking for something. God knows how many delivery boys were harmed in the process. It's kind of funny when you think about it though, because the concept of Pokemon originated in Japan and they made people go on a wild goose chase all around town. But when you read about Japanese work culture, they just seem like overworked, extremely efficient people who have no time for fun, especially for games like Pokemon Go. But that's not all true, because not just now, even back in the day, before the advent of the internet, Japan was one of the most popular places in Asia for the entertainment industry. When Queen, the band, went to Japan on tour, they were surprised by just how popular they were there. Even when George Michael was there, they mobbed him. They knew what he looked like because they actually loved him and followed him in his music, not because he seemed mildly familiar from something they saw on Instagram. Japan was and still is one of the go-to countries for big movie releases. They just want things to do well in that country. And Japan, in return, has given us a lot of things to obsess over and fall in love with, some of which we're going to talk about on this podcast. It's 2019, so the common opinion is that a weekend is wasted if you haven't been wasted. What's a Friday night if you aren't drinking to welcome the weekend? And just like the rest of the world, Japan isn't too far behind in its love for potent beverages. Except they're just a lot more formal when it comes to sake. Now, sake is a Japanese rice wine, and although it's called wine, it's brewed sort of more like beer. And they're Japanese, so you won't be surprised to know that they have a lot of rules even when it comes to drinking wine. They're not so particular about these rules when you're outside of the country, but when you're in Japan, you'll do well to know what to do. Like, if you're hosting someone, you don't fill your own sake cup. Your guest has to do that for you after you fill the cups of all your guests. Kind of like the opposite of what we do here in India. If the guest gets up to do anything, we're like, oh, no, please don't let me. Hashtag Atithi Devo Bhava and all that. And when someone is serving you sake, you hold the cup with both hands. And you have to remember, although it's in a really, really, really tiny cup, it's really potent. So you have to sip it slowly. You can't just say cheers and down it. You do that and you're probably gonna say something to offend these sensitive people with all their rules. And we Indians love anything from the West. That's why we have Oktoberfest and Halloween. We'll celebrate anything because clearly we don't have enough festivals here in India. But we're not so partial either. Indians wanted to embrace Japanese culture, so the first thing we brought in is obviously their favorite poison. The Japanese embassy in India also held a sake festival to introduce Indians to the rice wine there. Because Japan and India, we have a lot in common. We both love rice. We both love wine. And when you bring them together, what's not to love? So cheers. Or as the Japanese say, kenpai. Sake is for the taste buds. Now moving on to something for your eyes and your mind, more importantly. One of Japan's biggest exports of late is manga. So manga is a broad term for Japanese comics and graphic novels that developed in the late 19th century. If you're a millennial, you definitely know this already. And now it has grown and grown and is one of the most popular form of comics and graphic novels across the world. The Japanese market for manga is valued at billions and billions of dollars. And they estimate that each Japanese person buys around 15 issues of magazines each year. Obviously, that also means some Japanese don't read these at all, while there are others who are obsessively buying hundreds of them every year, maybe working all those crazy Japanese work hours just so they can save more money and buy magazines. But also, there's something for everyone. It's not like they only cover fantasy. There are comics and graphic novels about horror, mystery. There are ones with mushy love stories for love-struck teenagers. Yeah, we have them all over the world, so why should Japan be left behind? Then there's erotica. These are very, very sought after, even here in India. And although the world is crazy for manga, France has somehow made it one of the biggest imports from Japan. 38% of the French comic book market consists of manga. That's a huge number. Earlier, people would want to study about Japanese culture in universities because of martial arts and their fascination with the country where a lot of them originated. Right now, it's because of manga. And that's the case in Japan as well. Universities across the countries began offering courses in manga with a training curriculum included. But I guess those degrees are as effective as engineering ones in our country. Way more graduates than jobs. If they have magazines and comics and graphic novels, those stories eventually find themselves on screen. And so we also have anime to appreciate and fall in love with. When the Japanese say anime, they mean animation, any kind of animation. But when the rest of the world says anime, it refers to animated stories, especially from Japan. That country alone has more than 450 anime studios. And considering the size of that country, it's like having 10 in each locality. But so what? The more they produce, the more we have to watch. And just like their comics, anime is not restricted to one particular genre. And although the characters mostly have distinct features, like you'll notice the size of their eyes, sometimes abnormally large and everything, anime still accounts for more than 60% of the whole world's animated cartoon television series. We know some of them from TV from when we were kids, like Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z, Doraemon and Shin-chan. There was a reduction in anime consumption in India because they started concentrating more on homegrown cartoons like Chota Bheem and Bal Ganesh. But thanks to the internet, all anime fans went back to watching their favorite ones and also had access to new genres that couldn't be screened on TV. You know what genres I'm talking about. And now that there are editions of Comic-Con everywhere, you must have seen that anime characters are one of the most popular ones for cosplay. Because if not for anime, we'd probably always have to dress up as Chacha Chaudhary. Is it even a holiday if you don't post pictures of it? And because we're all so obsessed with Instagram travel, a large part of the population right now decides where to go depending on how the place looks. Not like crusaders back in the day who thought, ooh, I wonder what lies beyond that ocean. Let me go discover how we can occupy that land and make it ours. It's more like, oh wow, this place had 1 million visitors last year. Let me go add mine. And if it comes to visual beauty, Japan has done all the right things to let the world know about Japanese cherry blossoms. They call it sakura. And they know how to have fun when it's cherry blossom season. Actually, they've been doing that since the 3rd century. They've been having cherry blossom viewing parties since then, where they gather with friends and family and sit under the trees and have a picnic and drink sake. They've made it one of their national flowers. One of them, actually, along with the chrysanthemum. That couldn't be changed because, you know, even the royal throne of the emperor is called the chrysanthemum throne. And the cherry blossom is also on the logo for the 2020 Summer Paralympics that's going to take place in Japan. Now, there are a lot of places where blossoms are in full bloom in season. These include Pakistan, India, Nepal, Taiwan, and Korea, including some parts of Afghanistan. But when you say, hey, let's go on a holiday to see cherry blossoms, the first thing anybody will say is probably, yeah, let's go to Japan. So India was like, hey guys, come back. You don't have to consider India only for yoga and meditation. And that's how we got our own cherry blossom festival in Shillong and in Manipur. I'm not sure you can sit and drink sake under the trees in Manipur, but okay, we'll take this. The best way to show a culture you appreciate it is by embracing their food. The Japanese take great pride in their sushi, and we know the Americans love it. There are sushi bars left, right, and center in the USA, but that's also because they're overcompensating for bombing the country, and now they're like, whoops, we better show them how much we love them. There are so many types of sushi, and one of the common factors in them is the vinegared sushi rice. But otherwise, they vary in terms of ingredients and what they're served with. Some have seaweed and soy sauce, some are vegetarian, while others bring absolute delight to seafood lovers. Because it has raw fish as one of the ingredients in the seafood ones, the UN actually had to give out regulations because thousands of people have been poisoned each year by consuming raw seafood. So the trailers that catch fish sometimes have freezers that store fish in minus 60 degrees. Now, no matter what the season is in India, whether it's dripping wet monsoons or super hot summers or the really cold, harsh winters, we love our hot food. And for a whole country of people who love their food cooked, it was quite a challenge to introduce sushi, which authentically consists of raw fish. But we're quite experimental that way, so it wasn't a big no-no. But the bigger problem was making sure it wasn't too Indianized. See what we did with Chinese food? If you go to China and order a gobi manchurian, they'll be like, what? Which planet have you come from? There are three types of singers. Those who are confident enough to sing on stage. Then there are bathroom singers. And there are the ones who can't really make up their mind about which of the earlier categories they belong to. So the world calls them karaoke singers. Karaoke machines first originated in Japan when this engineer named Negishi, who actually had a car audio assembly business, thought, hey, people always sing when they're driving. Maybe the time in traffic is the best time to pretend you're a rock star. So he made a prototype. This was way back in 1967. And then a singing coach sold some playback decks, and the whole thing blew out into a rage, literally in the Philippines. Because you know this really sweet song called My Way? Frank Sinatra's version is the most popular one. So it became one of the most common songs to sing at karaoke bars. No surprises there. But it annoyed other people so much, people who had to listen to it, that at least half a dozen people were killed in Philippines when they sang the song. It was such a weird phenomenon. The newspapers there called it the My Way killings. Yeah, you can sing the song your way, but you die a very, very, very different way. Gosh, who knew karaoke could get you killed? All work and no play makes Japanese really efficient people. They're really famous for their work hours. I think if you say you work 40 hours a week in Japan, they're gonna think you're really incapable. But obviously, that doesn't leave you too much time to socialize. You can't afford to go on Tinder dates with 12 different people before you decide which one you're gonna wanna be in a relationship with if you have work hours like that. That's too much work. And too much work that doesn't pay is not considered a great option in Japan. So they found a solution to that problem too, because that's what Japanese do. Identify a problem and solve it. And that's how there came to be this amazing, beautiful service called Rent a Boyfriend or a Girlfriend, whichever one you prefer. And the more experienced the person who's providing the service is, the higher it's gonna cost you. And for Japanese people, this isn't a new concept. They also used to have this service called Rent an Osan. Osan kind of translates to old dude, and this service let you hire middle-aged men for all sorts of things, right from doing your errands to going shopping with you and telling you how pretty you look. Even young boys hired Osan to have a chat with them and ask them how to impress the ladies. If you ask me, I think we need this service in India, especially for boys and girls in their 20s. Just land up at every family function with a different boyfriend and see if someone ever tries and gets you married off. As much fun stuff that Japan has given us, it has also given us some equally dangerous ones. So, the selfie sticks. They originated in Japan because they're super obsessed with pictures. Go to any major monument or tourist spot in the world. The person with the fanciest camera lens on a DSLR is most probably Japanese. And once mobile phone cameras were all the rage, they had to find some way to capitalize on that too. So in 1983, way before smartphones became popular, two Japanese gentlemen patented the selfie stick. And that's how one of the most dangerous yet fun accessories began to be sold. There are some areas across the world where selfies are banned because some people got into serious trouble like falling off and dying. And they can't trust us regular folk to be careful enough. I mean, maybe a century before this, our ancestors died much before their time, probably because they had to fight a war or the plague got them. But right now, it's photos for Instagram that are to die for. In 1995, there was a book of 101 unuseless Japanese inventions. So this was a list of prank inventions that didn't really have much purpose, and the selfie stick was one of them. And then in 2014, Time magazine listed the selfie stick as one of the 25 best inventions. It's great to see how our priorities have changed since then, but first, let me take a selfie. These are just some of the things that Japan has exported. There's always the fascination with their bullet trains. We've been waiting for those in India, but when the metros take so long to complete, I think we know how long it'll be before we get those bullet trains. There's also instant noodles from Japan that we're obsessed with. Quite a savior on days we don't want to cook. All of these are okay. The only thing we don't want is the Japanese work culture. They can keep their long hours. We'll take whatever's fun. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika.
Just Talking, brought to you by In.com.